Yeah. He must be Riven.
We've got any of those questions then. I'll focus them all towards you. Okay. Welcome everybody to a meeting of the Regulatory Committee Wednesday the 18th of October. Councillor Kempton. Apologies. Councillor Noon, Councillor Brown and a leave of absence, Councillor Deakin. We previously moved those, so I'll take that as accepted. Attendance, welcome to staff in the background. Confirmation of the agenda. Four agenda items, two for council decision, that's the director's report and harbour bylaws, and two for noting, that's the various acts and reporting on and consents and building control. So, conflict of interest. Is there any conflict of interest? If not, no public forum presentations. Confirmation of the minutes. I am happy to move that the minutes of the meeting held on the 13th September 2017 be received and confirmed as a true and accurate record. Do we have a seconder, Councillor Woodhead?
Yes.
Seconder. I'll put the motion. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Right. Thank you. Going to... Sorry, was there any matters arising from the minutes? If not... No actions. Outstanding actions. Okay, so matters for council decision. The first report is a director's report on progress prepared by Scott McLean. I'll just read out the key points as I understand it. The OLC biosecurity staff continue to assist the ministry in their mycoplasma bovis inclusion response. Rabbits, there's a continued focus on Central Otago and Sam's Patch down the peninsula. There's a K5 update. Wallaby activity. I see there's four reports of wallaby sightings. Though I hear Councillor Bell may have an update on that. Arbor master activities. There was a threat of protest within the reporting periods. We might want to discuss that. Compliance activity. There's an audit on all the various moors in the Otago Harbour. There was a flyover in terms of the dairy and forestry activities, and there was one significant breach identified. Wilding conifer, there's been some positive feedback, I think, in relation to that. And in relation to the freshwater biosecurity, we're certainly getting on the path of saying quite clearly that there's no known control tools for lake snow and that the focus needs to be on preventing its spread. And where MPI is on the research. And then finally, just a continuation of the discussion from the policy, some of the work and update on the environmental risk assessment program. It's good to have that in here where it says that there's some work being undertaken, water sampling, there's some desktop risk assessment will be conducted. Sian's working on a readiness survey with Scott, and there is an on-farm assessment to be conducted across two pilot areas. Okay, I'll be quiet. I'll open it up for any discussion. Councillor Laws and then Councillor Bell.
Rabbits. Okay. Scott, I suppose that's progress. Are we any further advanced on getting the Korean virus? You've had a sign-off from Agriculture Compounds and Veterinary Medicines. I've got no idea what that means. I didn't even know they existed, but they obviously do, otherwise they wouldn't be in your report. But what's the next step, please, in this long, bureaucratic, winding journey?
That's for here, isn't it, Scott?
Yeah, if I can, through the chair. In order to submit an application to import an unwanted organism, you have to get approval from ACVM. So that the actual application to import an organism is relatively straightforward. Getting ACVM sign-off is incredibly complex. So the documentation, the scientific documentation that accompanied the ACVM application exceeded 1,000 pages, 25 separate documents, and peer-reviewed by five independent peer reviewers. The deviations that were applied for and have subsequently been signed off by ACVM is what's meant by that is the group applied to use the science that was used in Australia to get approval in Australia. We applied to use the same science without duplicating it here. So each item is a deviation, and each item then gets reviewed by a scientist appointed by ACVM to essentially peer review the Australian science, figure out whether it's appropriate for use in New Zealand, and if it is, then it gets approved. If it's not, then the applicant has to go away and do further scientific work. So incredibly complex to get ACVM sign-off, but they have peer-reviewed it all the way through. They've tested it, and they have said it's ready for submission. So that it has now been submitted, so it's a major milestone. And the draft application to import the unwanted organisms also been submitted alongside that application. So huge milestone to overcome, and it's on track now.
Yes, okay. Where does it go now? So you've got a draft application to whom?
So it's through ACVM, so they are now satisfied that it meets their requirements for them to consider.
Oh, yep. I see. So we've got to the stage where they can actually now consider it.
Correct.
Sorry, excuse my friend.
I suggest we drop the 1,000-plus pages of paper from a helicopter somewhere. I reckon we'd kill them.
Actually, my question is, if you don't mind, Councillor Laws,
no, you go for your life.
What value are they providing? So, like, for example, we didn't do this step, which has previously occurred. Yeah. I mean, when there was a previous release, we missed this step.
And every other step.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what is the advantage of actually going through this step?
If I can, through the chair, they assess animal welfare and ethics.
Okay.
They assess the viability of a virus. There's a surprisingly strong lobby group for Pet Rabbit Owners Association. Okay. They assess whether it's can be if it's transferable between species. So there's a whole
That's interesting.
New Zealand has a very long history of making some wrong calls on biocontrol, dating back to the early 1800s. So these measures are put in place to ensure that there's no unanticipated consequences.
Mr. Chairman, can I just advise the council that any other action would be illegal?
Thank you.
And I think it would be very unwise to continue any discussion that the Otago Regional Council was condoning an illegal action.
Yeah. No, but we're getting to that stage. No, it needs to be flagged. We're getting to that stage now where the frustration level is getting to that stage back in 97. Was it 97? Yes, it was 97, wasn't it? When people went, nah, you're taking too long. And that's what worries me.
Is that actually true, Councillor Laws? When's the optimum time to actually release the K5 for it to...
Autumn.
Yeah, autumn. So we're in spring. So we're on track for autumn?
No, we're not.
Through the chair, yes, we are.
Oh, we are?
Yes.
Mind you, that was said last year.
Yeah.
I'm not...
But point. So we're on track for autumn. If we just need to keep calm. Councillor Neil.
Well, I don't think it's quite fair to say we're at the point where it was previously imported. I mean, government had come out and said no. And that's when the frustration boiled over.
You come up to Central, Sam. I mean, you know that.
I actually know the odd person in Central. That's the point.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Bell.
Are we
talking about rabbits?
Yeah, most of my questions probably been answered on the rabbit one, but just as a matter of interest, with the Ida Valley, is that the Murray Creek end? Are you aware of Mr. McLean?
I'm not sure through the chair. I'm not exactly sure. I know it was
a huge rabbit problem in Ida.
Was a number of properties all took part in the one operation.
No, that's fine. Am I allowed to go to Wallabies?
I might come back to you. Is the right, Councillor about Councillor Kempton, were you talking about rabbits?
No.
Okay, Councillor Bell.
Yeah, I did get a ring from Stu Duncan from Wedderburn on Monday morning, probably around about 8:30, 9:00 in the morning. to tell me there'd been a confirmed sighting of a wallaby up the back of the hill, I understand. I think that's where it was, up behind where they rent out their huts
you know,
for their bike show there. And they had the chopper in that morning. Doug Maxwell and Ozzy was in having a look around there on Monday. On Monday, I presume it was Monday morning, first thing, if not Sunday night. I'm not sure, 100%. But it might pay just to give Stu Duncan a ring. He was trying to make contact here to relay that message in.
Thank you. Councillor Kempton?
Yeah, I had a few questions on random topics as we go through. But the first one is I'd just like to really understand the Mycoplasma bovis thing. You know, it's gliding away, it's just across the river. Who knows? Now, my understanding is that you can cut a rump steak off one of these cows and cook it, and it's going to be delicious, and it's not going to kill you. My question is it an economic issue? That is it something to do with stock condition, or is it a real a threat with respect to exporting? If the people who make baby formula know the cows had this, then they won't take the baby formula. Okay. Or is it a health issue? I don't altogether understand that. I'd really like to know a little bit more.
Okay, Mr. Bodecker?
Yeah, well, it's a chronic wasting disease of cattle, which is transmitted by close contact. So, while it's not a human health issue, the fact that it can be transferred relatively easily between cattle, affected cattle, means that I assume that the decision that the MPI have made around slaughter is to say we can contain it that way.
Yeah, but the containing, is that simply because the cattle won't be as good an animal
Correct.
In terms of production?
Correct.
Okay,
Correct.
Thank
so,
you.
So it's an animal welfare, animal production. They're prone to mastitis. It's not something that I think either a farmer who considers the welfare of his or her cows or the productive ability would tolerate.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you for that.
Thank you, Scott.
It's through the chair. The chief executive just touched on the depopulation, so staff will be involved in that. It's a monumental exercise. It's 4,000 cows, mostly heifers, and you can fit 30 on a truck. So they have 4,000, and they have to go to the works because they'll be processed for meat.
Oh, they are.
And in terms of the economy, New Zealand is not known as a country traditionally to have that. So to be able to sell our primary products as disease-free as possible is actually really good for the brand. So, but there are no human health issues, just mainly animal welfare.
But it does have a number of strains. That's good. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Woodhead.
I was going to raise that and just ask, have councillors been receiving the email updates?
It was a welcome to a meeting in Waimate or something.
Yes.
Yesterday or something. Righto. So there's a almost nightly update that Mr. McLean will get. I've been getting all the way through it, and it just keeps adding on the new information. So, Mr. McLean, can you get Lauren to circulate that to councillors and just give them an indication of a bit of the detail, but the scale of what's been going on?
Certainly.
And it's very large project right on our back door trying to contain this disease.
Okay.
Sorry, I've just got one quick question on rabbits. Australia, what's the update on the success rate of the virus in Australia, please?
Through the chair, the confirmed success rate is 42% population knockdown.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's very good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
That's better than was anticipated, isn't it?
Okay. Thank you. And thank you, Councillor Woodhead, in terms of the mycoplasma and Councillor Kempton. Any other matters? If not... We do have a recommendation at the bottom that the report be received. Do we have a if there's no further discussion?
Seconded.
We're a mover, a seconder. I'll put the motion. Those four?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. The second report, Regulatory Committee, prepared by Sharon Bodek, of projects. So the summary key points, work is progressing on the development of a draft harbour bylaws for navigational safety in Otago waters. That's for Otago and Karitani harbours. The purpose of this paper is to provide information on the process for consulting on and adopting the new harbour bylaws. The OSC has considered that there is significant public interest in the bylaw and so recommend using the special consultative procedure to make this bylaw. Our interim harbour masters are currently undertaking informal consultation with key stakeholders, water groups, etc. I open it up for the discussion. There is a table at the bottom, of course, that sets out the proposed timetable. Any discussion? And a point of clarification from Scott McLean. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The reference to Otago and Karitani harbours, that refers to the lapsed 2003 bylaw. So the new draft bylaw will cover all navigable waters in Otago, except those delegated out to Queenstown Lakes District Council Central Otago District Council, and it includes out to the 12 nautical mile limit.
Oh, okay. So it's covering Oamaru. Mm. It's covering the Catlins.
It's covering all navigable
everywhere.
Waters.
Except
covering lakes a whole lot.
Yep, lakes and rivers.
Okay,
yep.
Very good. Very good. And in this timeline process, so we're going to have a workshop on the 1st of November. Yes. You're going back to Maritime New Zealand to get some feedback, and then you go through a formal consultation process, yeah? Submissions, hearings.
Correct.
So, is there work being done around with the other TAs? In terms of trying to get an understanding of standardisation across these various bylaws?
Through the chair. Yes, so we've submitted on COTC's draft bylaws, but we've also been working, where our harbour masters have been working with them, and also QLDC to try and achieve exactly that, some consistency across the region. We're also in close contact with particularly Environment Canterbury because they've just reviewed theirs. So there's a desire to have reasonably consistent bylaws across the country. We've looked at theirs and tweaking it, Otago-ising it, as it would.
Is there a reason why we've split it? I mean, I'm picking up on Alice's point. You'd think, wouldn't you, you'd have a consistency across the region rather than splitting it off for Queenstown and splitting it off for CODC, which means that there are now three organisations involved where really there should be one, I would have thought, for consistency purposes and for staffing purposes.
I think it was historic, Councillor, and it was probably a necessity. I mean, I think the commercial activities in and around Queenstown necessitated a level of presence that Otago or the regional council didn't possess. So I think there were probably good reasons at the time, and with us having a full-time harbour master for the first time, it gives us that opportunity to review the delegation. So that's a piece of work that will be done, and if this council wants to discuss that around these bylaws, I think that would be an opportune time to do that. So
thank you.
Okay, and that'll come up in the workshop too.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Are we good? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we have a recommendation that the report be received and that the timetable for adopting the bylaw be endorsed. That timetable wraps everything up this financial year. Do we have a mover? Councillor Robinson, seconder Carmen. I'll put the motion. Those for?
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Our next report, I think, for noting the Resource Management Act, Biosecurity Act, Building Act, enforcement activities prepared by Peter Kelleher. There's just one item there, one abatement notice to cease discharging a contaminant in the breach of a regional role. There it is. Any points of clarification?
I'll move the recommendation.
Okay, we have
a second.
No further discussion. We've got a mover. We've got a second to Councillor Wood and Councillor Kempton. I'll put the motion. Those for?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. And our final report is the Consents and Building Control prepared by Marion Weaver. The key points out of their limited notification, there are four applications under limited notification. Objections, the Mount Cadrona Station Limited regarding a residual flow condition, the objection was withdrawn. And appeals, the Kyburn, which is We all know about the consents were granted and have been appealed by Otago Fish and Game and Kaiti Hurapa Runaka Ki Puki Tauraki and Te Runga Otakau have joined the proceedings as interesting parties in court assistant mediation is set down for Friday the 20th of October.
We've Can you pronounce them again, please?
Yeah. Yes.
And quickly.
Thank you. Deemed permit, we've dropped one of the reports and integrated it in here. Consent and admin as well. There we go. Any discussion, Councillor Laws?
Well, I've got one thing to add to this, if I might. At the moment, there are a series of forests being cleared. You would have driven past it, Graham, you too. And those forests are being cleared, as I understand, for the next 5 years, right throughout from, oh, was it from sort of Lawrence? Just sort of
Beaumont.
Through. And I drive past it all the time, and there's streams going through it, and I think to myself, you know. And then I'm also aware of the conversations around whether or not there's going to be replanting, whether or not it's economic to do so. And this is the first opportunity I've had to raise it, so I just wanted to flag it with you now about land use, about sediment runoff, about a whole series of things connected with the logging that is occurring now and is likely to continue to occur for a couple of years yet. And I just wondered if any work had been done on it, any thought had been given to it. I'm concerned around the land itself, the preservation of that land. I'm concerned that if there is no replanting, it's almost all on sloping land that runs into riverways and waterways. And if there is no replanting anticipated, the likely effect upon the environment in a wider area. And I just wondered, I wanted to flag it now, because it's the first opportunity, if any work had been given or thoughts have been given to that, if we are monitoring the situation.
Sure. And before I pass it over to Mr. McLean, declare my conflict of interest. I'm involved in a forestry company, so at some point I'll be involved in the same types of issues. Scott.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. That particular forest operation, the contractor in the forest company contacted us prior to harvest. Staff went on site, talked about different environmental mitigation measures. Staff have been on site a number of times throughout the operation. At this stage, we're satisfied that things are okay. What their intentions are for the land, I don't know. I can't comment on that. But yes, certainly, by and large, the larger forestry companies are very proactive and they're in a pretty good space, certainly at contacting us first to discuss environmental impact mitigation, which is, you know, a large part. And thanks to my staff and the liaison staff working pretty closely with the forestry companies. It's a good situation, but certainly we monitor it because, you know, it's an unexpected weather event can change things pretty quickly, particularly on and that block is steep. So, yeah.
So, Councillor Laws, you'll bring that to the table sometime?
I think so. I mean, I think the key thing now out of that to take was that it is being monitored and that the ORC is happy with what's occurring so far, is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah, alright, thank you.
Just on that, Devin, I mean, I presume you're really talking about generally forest, generally,
yes, because
I believe it's not quite right of council to discuss specific forest as long as they're adhering to the rules that are set by council, and that's probably what you're more referring to.
I'm making sure that we've got a regime in place.
Yes.
Because there is some...
Regardless of what forest it is.
That is correct. Yes, that's right.
But maybe sometime we'll get a heads up. If you want to promote that, Councillor Laws, I'll make a point of standing down. Somebody else can chair that part of the meeting. And it's certainly a key topic.
Well, I'd be interested in your perception, actually. And I'm interested to hear you say that. Yeah.
Scott, just to build a wee bit on Mr. McLean's comment that councils and the stakeholder engagement team has been working with the forestry industry. There's been quite a concerted effort in the last 3 odd years, Mr. Bodeker, We've had one I was involved in was a meeting in the church hall next door where every man and his dog involved in the industry turned up.
Yeah, over 100.
I don't know, 100 or more there, 200.
Yeah, yeah.
And our staff have been actively working with the forestry sector around the sediment rule because it's prohibited to. And you might remember that we've had a couple of trip ups and it's resulted in compliance action that got the industry's attention very quickly. And there's been a proactive response from council and a good engagement as a result from the wider industry. So there's been quite a bit of effort over a while now. I just wanted to remind
quite a bit
us
of effort,
but there are risks. And you want some comfort that they're being managed adequately, which is a reasonable... So we won't lose sight of that. Any other points, anybody? If not, the recommendation is that this report be noted. Do we have a mover? Councillor Bell, do we have a seconder? Councillor Neal, I'll put the motion. Those four.
Aye.
Aye. Against. Carried. Thank you very much. Close today's meeting of the Regulatory Committee. Thank you.
Is it today?
Thanks, Scott.
Yep, thank you for our work, Charles.